Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Today, and I told you about this earlier, I hope you were listening then, is a National Smile Power Day today. Psychologists explain that even if you have to force a smile, the very act of turning your lips upward can trick your brain into releasing certain feel-good hormones. That includes dopamine and serotonin. Well, it's not good enough to hear it from me. We need to understand it from an actual, real, live, living psychologist. Daniel Den Hollander joins us this morning. How are you?
Good morning. No, I'm in a cold Cape Town, but I appreciate the invitation and looking forward to today's show.
So, yep, Johannesburg as well now. Thanks for sharing your cold front with us. It seems to have hit us overnight, absolutely freezing here, but nevertheless, it is winter. It's like we're surprised every time it gets cold in winter. It's just one of those things. The impact of a smile. More and more research is being done around this. Tell us about it.
Well, from how I understand, this is the fact that we know that smiling and humor and laughter has incredible social impact and social ability for human beings. Quite interestingly, if we, for example, see primates like monkeys and chimpanzees, they often spend a lot of time grooming each other, and through grooming, they bond with each other. We know now that laughter and smiling performs the same function with human beings. Being able to make another human being smile or laugh often helps in regards to bonding, and actually allows us to build the enormous communities that we have in human beings. So there's a huge bonding experience in regards to the ability to make other people smile and to make the other people laugh.
Is laughter and smiling uniquely human?
That's a very controversial question and contentious. I like to think that humans often think we are the only ones to do many things, only later to discover not. But I think this case, although smiling might not be inherently human, smiling in the form of as being an expression of happiness, I think can quite happily be so. Although I must be honest, my German Shepherd, I always try to choose German Shepherds because they always look like they're smiling at me.
Right. It's interesting. That is true. And in fact, I've noticed that we have a Swiss Shepherd as well. And you really can see that they, I think, but maybe that's just us imposing it on them. It's interesting as well that laughter or smiling is one of the few shared body language, universal body language traits.
No, absolutely. But I think as well is that you've got to also be careful with smiling, because smiling can also have different types of communication. For example, you get a nervous laugh or a nervous smile. And you also, that's often, we do notice a sort of nervous smile we do notice in other animals besides humans. It almost becomes sort of a grimace. But I think down to it comes to the fact that a smile will release the endorphins if it's spontaneous. And in that regard is the idea that smiling, if it's spontaneous, is going to always be healthy. Smiling when it's not spontaneous is also an incredible messenger, but it might just say to us that there's something wrong within our environment or in our circumstances that needs attention at that moment.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I think about some of our movies, and I don't know if it's Hollywood that has bastardized it to the extent, you know, we've always got the evil villain laughing with this hollow, empty, evil laugh. I don't know if that really happens in real life.
I think it actually does. We know that, for example, people can ridicule each other, and that often is done through laughter as well.
Yes.
The butt of the joke, I would almost want to say that the butt of the joke is not even a universal thing. In certain cultures, being the butt of the joke is funny and it's acceptable. In other cultures, being the butt of the joke is horrendously offensive. I think also that laughter seems to become quite contextualized. We, for example, know that there's a difference between American humor and British humor, and humor in other parts of the world as well. And I think, you know, that there is a contextualization and sort of an acceptability about it. But to be said that all laughter is always healthy, I think is also not true. We also know that, I mean, if you look at movies like the movie Joker, personified that quite well, is that for some people, an uncontrollable urge to smile or to laugh actually becomes quite hampering and can become quite pathological.
Yeah, and in fact, many people talk about that they can't help themselves. They laugh at inappropriate times, which is very unnerving, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to the same thing. You were talking about movies now, and I think one of the most powerful movies on the topic of laughter, smiling, and happiness is a children's movie, Inside Out, where it goes in to say that joy or laughter or smiling only becomes complete when it's a spontaneous reaction, as much as all the other emotions are important as well. I think in that movie they portray the importance of even sadness, and how sadness often gives a depth to joy. Mm. And joy has to, in a very realistic and very beautifully portrayed way, has to be hand in hand with sadness in order to be able to have a depth to that young girl's memories. And I think that kind of comes there. There was this idea once, you know, we used to have these types of movies like The Pursuit of Happiness and so forth, where we over-dominated happiness, you know, that the secret to life is to be happy. I think we've moved along from there now. I think that also that this beautiful new generation that's come through is also teaching us this, that it's not about dominating one emotion or the other. That becomes very controlled. But it's the spontaneity and the balancedness of life that is so important. And within there, if you are smiling a lot, I think that you're doing something right. And if you're not smiling a lot, I think it's time to sort of take a look and say, what's happening in life that I'm not giving myself the opportunities to be able to have such a beautiful, spontaneous response?
It's interesting because I find it tremendously annoying when you watch a sitcom and you have this canned laughter. It actually dements me. It drives me dilly because it's so not real, and it's so, you know, I feel like it's so instructive. Now's your time to laugh. Please laugh.
And
I don't want to do that. I want to laugh when I think it's funny, not when the studio audience is told that it's funny.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And I think that's where it comes down to. I think in that sense as well is that we know that people have different senses of humor. That strange moment when you're laughing and nobody else is laughing. But in actual fact, I mean, that's such a unifying moment because that talks about your individuation, you know, who you are as a human being. And I think, you know, that's also kind of makes it full circle is, maybe there's something to be said about the fact of being able to embrace what you find is funny, even despite the fact that you don't always need the social approval of the people around you to laugh with you. But I think that comes down to if you can find your own base and your own independence from within your own self, you know, self-security, as opposed to always needing to have justification on the outside. I think as a fellow human being, I struggle with that too. But I think it's these types of moments that confront us with that. And isn't it beautiful when we can be so in touch with ourselves that we can enjoy a moment, or even, if I may say, laugh at our own jokes. Maybe there's something in there that can also be quite enjoyable and quite uplifting and empowering for ourselves.
Absolutely right. And I think that is beautifully, beautifully said. Dan Holland is a clinical psychologist talking to us from Cape Town. And he was chatting about the psychological impact of a smile. Real food for thought there.